In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Jonah Wilson, and for the first time ever, the gift that is Matt Johnson. We are talking about glory and the fact that you're living with an awful lot of tension in your life. This is a real raw episode. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode. I think it might even be episode 150 of What the Prophets Say. I am Emma Stark, and you guys are in for a particular treat today. I know I'm always very entertained and gladdened by the brilliance of my guests, but today is particularly special because it's one of my staff's first appearance. And I want you to whoop, cheer, and jump to your feet wherever you are. If you could manage a whole star jump with us. And they are star jumping, the class behind the glass, or they're about to. Oh, they are. They are. Suzanne, my assistant, is waving her hands in glee. Please put your hands together for Mr. Prophet Matt Johnson. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, Matt, how long have you worked with us?
8 weeks. Is that
about? Yeah, I think it's 8 weeks. 8 weeks, yeah.
And then, of course, you're going to hear the beautiful tones, the dulcet tones of Jonah Wilson.
Hello, hello.
Jonah and Matt, welcome to the studio. So, Matt, you're going to have to do a little bit of an introduction to our loyal listeners.
Please.
Because the accent is glorious, but people might need to tune their ear in to get used to the rhythms of it.
Yes, so originally my accent is from the northeast of England, but because I live in Scotland now, I have to try and pronounce all my words correctly, which is really hard.
So this is, we would call this a Geordie accent?
A Geordie accent,
from Newcastle?
From Newcastle. Yeah. Newcastle?
Newcastle. Now, everybody is going to be trying 100%. To do a Geordie accent. Yeah. Is it the best accent in the world?
It is. I mean, I don't know if it rivals Par-R, but...
The Irish.
But yes, it is the best accent in the world. It's actually where God's accent is from, you know?
No, so. God does not talk with a Geordie accent from the north of England. God, I'm fairly certain God's not English.
I'm pretty sure God is absolutely English.
Okay, we are wrestling already. What, do you have a comment on the accent of the divine?
I do love the Newcastle Geordie accent. We have another person on our staff, Becca, who also joined. We all joined at like the same, around the same time. But I get on her because she always says, for sure. And so I go, for sure. For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
And it's like that little uptown, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonah, you're American though, so I mean, your accent is, you take the cake for the best accent in the office, I'm sure. So.
I'm sure, absolutely, for sure.
For sure.
It's funny, isn't it, to come together as family and to have such diversity of accent and sound and lived experience and
seriously,
family upbringings and educations, but to find that it doesn't actually really matter. We are all part of this kingdom. And interestingly, we're going to talk about a couple of things together today that the Lord has laid on these gentlemen's hearts. But it's been my joy to watch you guys come in as pro, because we really only employ prophets. Seems to be a theme. They happen to have other skills. Actually, do you want to tell them what your actual formal job descriptions are?
Do we want to go the job title on our piece of paper or what we actually do day in and day out? We all wear like 3 to 5 hats. Yeah. Let's be real.
Marvelous. It keeps it entertaining.
Absolutely.
So on my job description bit of paper, it says media manager. That's on one bit of paper. But then David has a bit of paper with 3 different job descriptions on. So,
with a flow chart on what we do and where's the crossover and let's not touch each other's toes, but it's okay.
It's
great. No, we're
glorious.
One big happy team.
Absolutely.
And what's your job description, Jonah?
I think he wrote out audience and partners lead, I think was the title.
Do you know what? I have actually no idea what my job title is.
Just prophet.
Just prophet.
Lead prophet.
Big boss.
The big boss.
Executive director of prophet.
Listen, seriously, I just call myself prophetic mama on our fantasy football league. Can I say, guys, Matt Johnson here, along with my 2 teenage sons, well, as my sons are growing, I'm trying to run with them. I don't know whether this is the right thought, but I thought, I tell you what, Matt, was it you who set up the fantasy football? football. And I know nothing about soccer, but I thought I will join the fantasy football team this year. I don't think I've ever really watched a football match in my life. But because I wanted to be able to sit over dinner time, mealtime, supper with my boys and talk about things that interest them, I thought I'll join in. Mm-hmm. And you guys went into shock when I joined.
Yeah.
So I had to name my team, which I named it, what did I call it? The Prophetic Mama.
Something like that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And I thought, how do you even pick a soccer team? How do you even begin to understand? So I picked them on the word of the Lord. And then I added in what surnames, second names sounded plausible to me. And created a fantasy football team. So, I mean, seriously, it's so ridiculous.
And guys, honestly, she has been so lucky. She says it's Jesus. Absolutely not.
It is.
She's
Jesus.
Just it's complete. Look, don't listen, guys. It's just look.
Jesus and
she's,
loves me.
She's second in the league. I'm so bitter about it because I was second and then I got 3 points docked.
Why?
For no reason at all.
Why did they take
because
put?
Because Gokarez was not a very good striker on the weekend and he was up to three and then he went to one. Gokarez.
Who is this?
This is an Arsenal striker. Your daughter's fella.
Yes.
Will absolutely love him. That I think his name is Gok to be, are you?
Right. So. Okay. Because we've all had to choose fantasy football. So welcome to my world where I hear the voice of God, and then I'm parenting alongside. Mm-hmm. And can we just say winning? Can we just? Also, listeners, number one in the league is my assistant, Suzanne.
Class the
girls,
behind the glass.
Can we say the girls are dominating the fantasy football league?
True.
We watch this space to see whether we have a massive.
To be fair, I would expect nothing less from Suzanne.
Well, Suzanne, not that you'll want us to say online, but we absolutely will. She did so well at the start last year. She was first place for 6 months and then. Crashed to last by the end.
Excuse me. God is on this team that I am backing, and I expect, I know it's a marathon, not a sprint, but loyal listeners, you will want to keep updated by the shenanigans of our fantasy football league. You can email in if you have best divine suggestions for my team, and as I am slightly out of my depth. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah.
But it's a funny thing to be in a family. Our job descriptions, mm-hmm. our fantasy football teams together, our prayer life for each other, the laying on of hands for each other. And what's it like moving from business into this crazy family?
Yes. So my background, I have been an entrepreneur for 5 years and run my own business. And Jesus did some amazing stuff at the start of this year, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point.
We will.
But it is so life-giving. And I think the thing, and I don't think prophets get enough credit for this, is we hold each other in such a way that makes you feel seen, makes you feel fought for, and makes you feel surrounded by people that are going to go, I've got your back no matter what it looks like, yeah. And are also willing to go, do you need a hand in a real practical thing like fantasy football? Mm-hmm. or like we've had dinner, some great times together, and just that great conversation of, hey, what's it like living in Glasgow instead of America? That's a massive transition. So,
or living in Glasgow rather than Newcastle.
I mean, seriously. It's so similar. It's scarily.
Is it?
It's scarily similar.
Glasgow and Newcastle are similar.
You know, is it St. George's Square in Glasgow? There's a monument there.
Yeah.
And it's identical.
We just call it George Square.
Yeah,
but you can sing to him if you want.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, George Square, sorry guys. Yeah. But it's the monument there is identical to Gray's Monument in Newcastle. So there's some architectural overlap. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. It's
great cities of the world.
We're walking around going, this is really similar.
And you know what? I'm just back from my holidays and you lot posting photographs in the staff communication channel. Can I just say it looked like you did absolutely nothing apart from look out the window and film Tom Holland doing Spider-Man jumps along our street.
Oh, 100%. I think my favorite did you just say
yes, we didn't work for 2 weeks?
I mean, what's the PR politically correct? I mean, no, we totally worked.
But the whole time.
We totally didn't work from the window and watch him do his stunts while we worked. 100%.
Context, they were filming the new Spider-Man film in the street that our office is in, and had made it into a street in America.
Literally a street in America. All of a sudden, overnight, literally, American flags were everywhere. There was explosions going off.
Oh my goodness,
it was like we'd had an
invading force. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but my favorite response has to be Anna.
Let's just get this correct. So we had them, Anna, who did an amazing response, who ran to the street. However, shortly after her was this gentleman to my right, who
I don't know what you're talking about.
Also ran with his phone in the air. Tom Holland. Did you get a photo?
I got photos of him definitely in his suit. I have yet to actually meet him. I wanted to be very spiritual. I wanted to prophesy over him. And I was hoping and secretly praying that there would be an opportunity to prophesy over Tom Holland and Zendaya. Team Holland and Zendaya.
And on your day off, Jonah, did you wait in the street for maybe 4 or 5 hours?
No, you did not. No. This is confession of sin. We're in James 5, did you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. On Sunday, one of the Sundays, I literally watched for a solid 5 or 6 hours.
And tell our lovely viewers what happened when you went to get lunch. Who arrived?
Who arrived? You'll have to tell the story.
So Jonah said how he sat for 5 hours and then he was like, oh, I'm going to go for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
No one's here. And then Tom and Zendaya arrive whilst you're on lunch. So you miss them by five minutes.
Listen, guys, I'm kind of interested in the fact that literally I took a brief annual leave and you guys are like lining the pavements, cheering under the American flags in the street for American heroes.
All I can say is we were led, you put Anna in charge and said she is the most senior leader.
I actually as I walked out, she was
cheering like a little mom and being like, Tom Holland. We just followed her lead. I blame Anna. You can take it up with her in a senior leader meeting.
Okay, guys.
Not to throw her under the bus or anything at all.
No, it's fine. She's quite right. It's a once in a lifetime, isn't it?
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, right, gentlemen. Time to prophesy. Who's going to kick us off? I know that both of you are carrying words of the Lord. Jonah Wilson, I think I am coming to you. The Lord's been actually saying some stretching things. Guys, as you watch us and listen to us here, it is a stretching season. Mm-hmm. And you'll have known that during the last handful of months, we've had to deal with concepts of there being grace for the pace as a phrase that the Lord has given us, this pace of change. I don't think it's about to slow down. I actually think we're going to go into one of the most glory-filled and tumultuous set of months in the latter half of 2025. Well, I mean, we're already tipped into that now. But certainly as the year comes to this climactic point in October, November, December of glory and of harvest and of fire and of tumultuousness. And actually, it's going to be quite a high change, rocky pace that we're going to have to figure out how to live and keep our minds settled on the things of God whilst there's massive change on the earth. And so actually knowing that that is what where we're headed, the Lord has given you, Jonah, a verse which we always love, that we're anchoring ourselves in a truth that we can dine out on, something to marinate on. If you are one who meditates on scripture, which you all should be, we're going to give you some verses today that it would be really brilliant for you to memorize, and we'll read them together. I might get Matt to bring them up on his phone. Jonah, give us the framework as then Matt starts to read them.
Yeah, so the Lord has had me sit in this word since September. And it's
last year.
Yeah.
September 2024.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
As you lovingly came to me and said, I want you on my team.
Uh-huh.
And I was like quite fine in my corporate America job, quite happy. Like in my mind, in my dynamic, I'm like, I'm able to give. I'm able to do all the things. Yes. I'm able to be the financial blessing. So I think the initial, you came up to me, it was at conference, you said, I want you on my team. And I initially told you no. And you're like, no, seriously, I need you to think about this. And before I could even object, you were off. There went Emma.
But I don't even remember you saying no.
Yes.
I just blocked out your no.
Because I had just talked to David about a completely different little plan in my head about going to D.C.
Oh.
And I was talking to the Lord about going to DC, and then you're like, we want you on our team. And so I went away, like we are supposed to in process.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord said, what if? He started with just the simple words, what if? What if I'm calling you out of where you're called right now and into something different?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's not helpful. I need a yes or a no. And he's like, but what if? And so then he took me to the scripture in Philippians, and he said, Jonah, I'm raising up Paul's. Are you able to be content in all things? I want you to be content whether you're in feast or famine, whether you're in a Joseph season of oppression and you're in jail, mm-hmm. whether you're placed into being able to steward grain, whether you're the Paul who is one season you're walking into the church and you're supposed to take an offering. The next season you're supposed to walk into a church. They take an offering and you refuse it. Like, can you be content in all things? And so I've been sitting in that journey.
Why do you think he went there? Was that because you had found an ease of rhythm and lifestyle?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's so easy for any of us, and there will come a point, I think, this is why I think GPA is a revolving door of individuals coming and going, because you find your rhythm, even in the spontaneity of prophets, even in the Lord doing different things every day, there comes a point probably with each of us where he's like, okay, now I'm sending you.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because the Lord has given to us a core set of staff who have worked together for very many years.
Yeah.
You know, Allison and I have worked together for about 20, I've lost track. Where's Anna at it? Anyway,
11. She hit 11 this year.
Sam Robertson, you know, I think he's on.
Since he was 14?
Well, no, I know most of his life. And I think Karis is here, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And we have this core, because you need these foundation, you do need of foundation course. Pillars. Yeah. But he does seem to send us people to grow them, to stretch them, and then he seems to hurl them out because they need to become something in the nations, but they need a touch point of a family to bless them, heal them, and release them. But I'm interested in the fact that can I ask the question? I've never asked you this before. Had you got too comfortable?
I think so. Absolutely. I think it's really easy, and you don't see it until you're out of the culture. And now I'm out of American sub.
But you wouldn't have thought that in the moment.
No, not in the moment.
What were you thinking in the moment?
In my moment, I've gone through the uncomfortability of multiple jobs where the Lord's taken me out of comfort. Now I need you to start a new job. But Lord, I've been here for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Go to a new job. I've been here 3 years. Time to move on. You need to move. So I've been in that uncomfortability. And I think at some point you kind of get, even with us probably at GPA, there's a sense of, Lord, at some point, can we have a respite? Like with the building, right? Lord, can we stop having to ask for a building? Can we just have breathing room?
Yes, yes.
You know, and I think you just ask for that. And then I had been in my new role at this company for not even a year. And the Lord is already saying, I had started this role. I was consulting for 6 months, started it in February of last year. By September, he's already saying, I need you to prepare to move on.
I think this is a great lesson for you to learn. Are you too comfortable and you don't even perceive it? And when you are comfortable, there is a loss of a hurling yourself into deep wailing connection. And I'm choosing the word wailing connection with the Lord to come and bring ease and support and nurture and wholeness and wellness and understanding and wisdom. You forget that whole throwing yourself before the hand of the divine and contending for all those things, because actually you lose need of it when you know how your day begins and ends every single day.
Yeah.
And the Lord in his mercy gives a a gift of uncomfortableness.
Seriously.
Uncomfortableness. Matt, would you mind reading the scripture? We're in Philippians 4, and it's just actually three verses. They're quite long verses. Verses 10 to verse 13, so that we can marinate on them a little bit together. The need to be sometimes pushed to learn what it is to be always thrown on the Lord.
I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Matt, as you read that, let's reflect on it together. The concept there of I have learned, that salient word that actually is in that scripture a couple of times. Verse 11, I have learnt to be content. Verse 12, I have learnt the secret of being content. So very much repetitive stanzas in sequential verses.
Yeah.
But the concept of a journey of education at the hand of the Lord to learn. And the learn is content. But the only way that the Bible says you are learning this is... actually, that it's a secret. Interestingly, it calls it a secret that you learn, but that you have done that in lack and in plenty.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, you know, we talk about how it's a secret. And I think we sit often under teaching and we go, oh, I've wrote my notes and I have all of the points from that.
Yes.
But actually living that is so much more interesting.
Yes.
And I wonder if that is the secret portion where we actually get to live it in the uncomfortableness.
Yes.
Very good.
And I've sat in that season recently of, okay, Jesus, we had this amazing business and now that's all gone. What does that look like? And it's that, and he said to me, like, it's you're learning what it's like to be in plenty and then in want.
And of course, you're pushing into your season. Do you want to go there, share a little bit more about your season? And because it's different. Like I went through the kind of the corporate pushing out and you've gone through the entrepreneurial journey of the Lord sifting you and pushing you into the uncomfortable.
It's very brave starting a business, Matt.
Yeah, I think so it was 5 years ago and I heard God really clearly and there was a lot of, you know, we do all our things of, we got our prophetic words and he said to me to start the business and my business was in media and consulting for social media as well and graphic design, all of that sort of stuff. And it was really fruitful and we were going from strength to strength or glory to glory if you want to spiritualize it. But the really the exponential curve was amazing. We'd not seen decrease in 5 years, and in my mind, I thought this is what kingdom business looks like. This is what being an entrepreneur looks like in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then in February, overnight almost, I lost every client from something that it was not basically a me thing. It just was a
outside situations and probably the hand of God in it as well.
Yeah, and it was that stripping away of the Lord going, well, actually, you thought you were building a kingdom business, but were you actually building empire? And I was rocked when he said that to me because I'm like, well, I followed your lead in this. Is this not what you wanted? But actually realizing that what I'd started to do was put myself into the... almost the savior complex. And I think as men, we tend to do that. So we can do that, like just to clarify, we can do that, where we want to be savior for our families and our friends. Why? Because we want to be safe places. But when we do that, we lose who Jesus is and Jesus is our savior.
And so in all of that, I think we hear an awful lot of prosperity gospel-ish concepts that glory to glory means wealth to wealth.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not a good definition of glory. Glory to glory does not equate wealth to wealth, or let's rephrase it. It doesn't equate to money to money.
Yeah.
It's maybe a better way of phrasing it. But glory to glory is becoming more of the image bearer of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's becoming like him in his value system. And the value system of Christ is a deep interconnectedness with the Father. And so if I'm going from glory to glory, I am in a greater connectedness with the Father.
Yeah.
And the stuff of empire and our savior complex, and we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
You just are more bold in your truth telling and vulnerability, but you're giving people life through this, Matt, is that sense that if I have diminished my interconnection with God and I'm not in that dancing woven sense of my life is movement and fluidity in a deeper way, in how I know him and he knows me, then I'm likely to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm either increasing in connection or I'm decreasing in connection with God. I'm rarely ever static in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I am going from glory to glory, I am increasing my dependency.
Yeah,
absolutely. And therefore, sometimes I have to have moments where I am in financial shaky places sometimes that I relearn what it is to dance it deeper into him.
Yeah.
And the sense that Paul must have learned that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even though we know the prosperity gospel is not quite right in many of the ways that it is portrayed, I think it echoes so loudly in our culture that we still think Westernly, and we still think it still invades us wrongly.
Yeah.
I must have more to show in my bank account. And we get very terrified if we don't. And yet sometimes that is literally what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want you poor. I don't think that's what God is saying.
Yeah.
But he is saying it has made you lose something.
Yeah. I think with that, what I was learning in this journey is you can have a poverty mindset in the midst of abundance.
Yeah.
And what the Lord was pushing for me.
Unpack that, yes.
Absolutely. And we'll be vulnerable here. Like I was talking about this with my therapist as I was wrestling moving here. And I said, but, you know, to my therapist, but I'm able to provide. I'm able to help. There's situations.
Yes.
I'm able to help my brother and my sister-in-laws. They're starting a family and help to provide and pay bills there as they're getting themselves started. And he just asked me, he's like, but who made you the savior for them?
Wow.
And what if God's invitation for you to be dependent on God is also their invitation to be more dependent on God? And is there areas in your life that because you're providing and you're in your mindset thinking, well, I'm being like Christ, I'm being generous, all good things.
Yes.
But you're actually preventing dependency on God and other people's life because of your lack of obedience and stepping out and saying, okay, maybe actually I have a savior complex that I need to deal with.
So in the loss of the business in February, Matt, which is external to you, but yet God knows what he's doing in allowing that space to open up in your world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of out the other end of it, but still processing because these things are deep processes.
Yeah,
because, of course, God called you into business and then it's a loss, even though you have gained back this Levitical full-time call because you were in Bible college before.
Yeah.
And you'd already given your life to the Lord in a ministerial way many years ago.
Yes, and I was only really thrown out of that when I was pushed into hospital for a year with my burn. So that was a very much a forcing out of something into something else. And Jesus is kind. I think that is the
kind.
That...
Just for clarity before you talk about the kindness of God, you actually said the word burn. You had such a very tragic physical incident where you were literally burnt.
Yeah, so I had a third degree burn. Mm-hmm. I got about 33% of my body burnt. I wasn't allowed out in the sun for 2 years. I wasn't allowed out of the hospital for, apart from little visits, for really a year. I had to have skin grafts, all of the stuff. I won't go too graphic in case our listeners are a bit squeamish.
Yeah.
But yes, it was a third degree burn from water.
It's incredibly shocking, all of that journey. So this desire for the Lord, here is my life. I'm desiring to give it to you. The call to ministry, the ejection from that in the most excruciatingly painful way. And then the business blessing as a sweet kiss of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, what shocks me in all of that is that your wife also works for us. She's our new CFO, intelligent, gifted lady, gorgeous lady, called Sarah, in that you have lived some rough stuff.
Yeah.
And here we are again, when you feel like I'm in this glorious rhythm, it feels like glory to glory, and then suddenly the demand, can we say that the demand of the Lord is high?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
so you're saying God is kind. Finish that thought, sorry.
So, yeah, throughout the whole thing, you know, it's just been my statement of faith has been Jesus is kind. And I think that's all I could really bring myself to say. Jesus is kind. Because what else do you say when
you had to hold it?
Yeah. Like, what else do you say when you had so much loss in such a short amount of time? So, my statement of faith has very much been Jesus is kind. And obviously we process with the Lord, and I'm sure you did, Jonah, with your situation. You're going, well, okay, why have you got me here? Why are we walking through this? And for me, it was always a finance question. Okay, Lord, why is it a finance issue? What's going on? And he said to me so boldly one day, this has never been a finance issue. This is a trust issue.
Oh my days.
Yeah. And that rocked me, because you feel like you've been building something, like I say, for the last 5 years on the foundation of the Lord.
On a call
to then realize, oh, what if this was empire in disguise? And actually this wave of entrepreneurship is or was an Ishmael. And actually the Lord is about to bring an Isaac into the earth. Maybe that's a conversation for another day, but that was very much the feeling that I've been left with the last few months of, what if this has been an Ishmael and actually there's an Isaac to come?
What I would love to sit in here is not only the concept of what we've read in Philippians 4, those verses 10 to 13 again, of I have learnt or learned to be content. I have learnt the secret in that final verse stanza, and the journey of being trained. But the exacting standards of the Lord is noteworthy. And I also want to push into the fact that he is so determined to have us fully integrated into him.
Seriously.
That he will not leave us in a place where there's any hint of half connection, half dependency, partial trust, lukewarm, even though what you gentlemen are saying to me today is, but we actually were doing good things.
Yeah.
You were both known to be generous.
Yeah.
You were both serving in the house of God whilst running other businesses. There, nobody could have pointed the finger at you and said on the surface that you read as lukewarm. I mean, when you came into my world and my husband's world, you presented and read very integrously as men after God's heart, and you were, and you still are. And yet something of the Lord demanded more. That scripture that I want to push into is he is jealous.
He is jealous.
He was jealous for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not that you guys were in withholding. But his jealousy is so extreme.
Yeah.
That you had to learn to be content in physical manifestations of less. Mm-hmm. Why? That the jealousy of the Lord might own your heart.
Yeah.
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 But we would never have said you were half-hearted. And I don't think you would have said you were half-hearted.
No, I think if I genuinely thought this is the call of God in my life to be a prophet in the marketplace. And I mm-hmm. thought that was the right stream. But again, is going back to what you said, Emma, is that me not being fully committed to the Lord and going a very real and honest look now at myself and going, oh, okay, well, maybe there was a little bit of something there in me still that was prideful, arrogant, the savior complex that we mentioned.
Yeah.
That had separation. And I think, Emma, you challenged me a few months ago now, and you said, tell me about your times with Jesus when you're alone. And
oh, did I?
Yeah. And I said, oh, well, you know, the star, like, I go to a beautiful, I'm a seer, I go to a beautiful garden, blah, 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 all of these nice things. And me and Jesus are looking at each other. And you said to me, oh, so you're not sat in Jesus. And I'm like, I've never sat in Jesus. And you were like, start there. That's all you said. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And now my posture is, I want to always be sat in Jesus.
Inside him, yeah. That mm-hmm. is a proximity mm-hmm. thing. I wonder whether what has happened to both of you is you hit another level of glory.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't see this as even necessarily, I mean, it's the wrestle, and we'll definitely talk about this in another podcast about the Ishmael versus the Isaac.
Yeah.
But
can I just, for my view, that's too harsh on yourselves.
Mm. And that's where I was going to go next, is it that, or is it just, are we in Job, the Lord testing? He's constantly testing and sifting. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit in that posture. I mean, candidly, and we're just talking about the finances. I mean, if the Lord said, hey, Jonah, so I want to take you to Scotland. I want you to be fully dependent on me with finances. I want you to go through betrayal. I want you to go through accusation.
Oh, man, you did, didn't you?
I mean, boom, 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 boom. But would we have said yes? I don't know, candidly. Does anyone candidly look at the Lord and say, sure, you have my yes, if he were to lay it all out for us to see? But then also, if he had laid it all out, what that creates, the content in all things, me coming here, it's not just, I need you, Jesus, but also it is, and we've talked about this at GPA, where is my Aaron? Where is my her? And there is that sense of, even with you and
who supports you?
Who supports you? You know, 2 weeks in and we're having a conversation, you're like, hey, this accusation has come against you and I'm addressing it and this is how I've had a conversation. That creates a sense of bond in friendship and in family that we're talking about too, that you only go through in the midst of learning the scripture of being content in all things.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? My maternal heart, you want to protect your own.
Yeah.
You don't want them to, spiritual children, natural children, just friends and family, those we love. It doesn't matter how we define that, but those that we love, those who belong to us, you don't want them to go through this. And you don't want them to ever, but yet, if there's an overprotection of that, we rob each other of the ability to hit another level of glory.
Yeah.
That something is a secret to be learned, because
clearly
written in Philippians 4, something is a secret to be learned in stripping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And accusation. And loss and weeping into the carpet and days alone, because you must have, both of you gentlemen must have sat alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are things that when you're living them, they're almost too sore to say to somebody else. I know very few people who are click your fingers, instant sharers mm-hmm. of exactly their situation, apart from maybe to their spouse or their girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But most of us withhold a little bit of ourselves. So we've got a little bit down our process from mm-hmm. those who mm-hmm. are to our left and our right. And so we do all sit alone in pain. I think that's mm-hmm. kind of how it is.
Yeah.
And we sit in that isolated place, sometimes screaming at the Lord.
Yeah.
And yeah. those who love us mm-hmm. actually do not want that for each mm-hmm. other. But if we can't allow that for each other and love each other through it, we actually rob the others will not get their glory jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look at GPA and everyone here, mm-hmm. I don't know that I can tell a single on my hand anyone that hasn't been going through that process in GPA.
Yeah, yeah, it's part of the rich tapestry mm-hmm. of glory to glory, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
We yes. all have that story in some way, shape, or form.
And mm-hmm. what are we to model? Are we to model empire? No. So are we going to look always on the outside and successful in any measurement of the earth? I jolly well hope not. But should we look victorious according to biblical standards?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And learning a different measurement, learning a different mm-hmm. definition of glory. Well, thank you very much for joining this episode. I'm actually going to not let these guys move a muscle. And I'm going to let you mull and meditate until our next episode drops. And we are going to absolutely pick this up because these gentlemen are a gift to David and I, to GPA, but they're a gift to you and to your life that you are living. And so as we exit stage left, we bless you to know what it is to learn the art of the secret place of being content in much and in little. But my friends, hear that what you are living and the stretching of the Lord is credited to you for an increase of glory in your life. You are right on time. You are right in place yeah. where you should be by the hand of God. And we bless you in your glory journey. Thank you for joining this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.